a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world is to come and don't you see?
Hi there, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, News Director Rick Spezak. And we'll be joined in just a moment or two by Miss Vicky Impoco and Laura Fazzone, with Now of Melbourne, Florida. And they'll be talking to us about their work as activists, both for human rights, women's rights, and also longtime peace activists. A fine group of people up there. There's a wonderful group called the Space Coast Progressives. I count myself a member. And always can be counted on when there's an issue that needs to be addressed, when a concern needs to be raised. The good people of Space Coast Progressives are always there. And while we're waiting for them to arrive, I'm going to go ahead and do a news story. This... now, this is called A Direct Path to the Sea. In from the Japan Times of yesterday, Jotaro Kanda, a professor at Tokyo University of Marine Science and Technology, pointed out the densities of radioactive material within the artificial bay have stopped falling, despite the huge amounts of seawater that flow in and out every day. This indicates a certain amount of new radioactive material is flowing nonstop from the plant's wrecked reactor buildings directly into the sea. Kanda also, however, noted the total amount of radioactive material detected in the contaminated water samples has been so low that it's unlikely to pose any danger to human health. And Jotaro Kanda also said it's very mysterious that radioactive levels detected in contaminated water samples, that the organisms in marine organisms say the radioactive level in marine organisms stays high, considering the low radioactive level of the water. But now my first guest has arrived, so let me go ahead and bring her on. Hello there. Who do I have the pleasure of greeting?
This is Vicky Impoco and Laura Fazzone from Brevard County.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Hi, Rick.
Hi there. You know, I have admired your work up there in Melbourne for some time. And I know that you're involved in so many important issues, peace activists, environmental activists, GM activists, human rights and women's rights. You know, there's so much to talk to you about. Let me first ask you to kind of introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now. May I ask you first, Laura, welcome.
Hi, Rick. My name is Laura Fazzone, and I'm currently the president of the Brevard chapter of National Organization for Women. And right now, we're working on our annual domestic violence prevention rally called Take Back the Night. We do a lot of other things for women. We support Planned Parenthood. We try and work towards keeping religious freedoms, gay and lesbian freedoms, freedoms for women's reproductive health, race relations, I mean, you name it. Basically, if there's a woman involved, we work on it. So, if you know, basically anything that relates to women, and if men relate to women, then we're there for you too.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Vicky, let me ask you to talk about yourself for just a minute or two.
Okay. Vicky Impoco. Engaged citizen. I'm involved with the Space Coast Progressive Alliance, Brevard Now, the South Brevard Democratic Women's Club, Move On, ACLU, the Peace Coalition of Brevard. Again, multi issues.
Well, I met you first through the progressive group and through a progressive caucus that has evolved into a progressive caucus for the Democratic Party many, many years ago. I've always admired your writing. You are an astute judge and an excellent wordsmith. And, you know, there's so many issues right now. Let me ask you both this question. You know, I know that both of you have been working at this stuff for a long time, and I'm not going to ask you how many years. But let me ask you this. When you first got involved, Laura first, what was the first issue that made you say, I have to work on this? This will not stand. I cannot just sit idly by. Could you talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, it was after my husband and I did a lot of chest thumping, high five, and major dance around the kitchen. I think that was election night of 2000. And when they announced that Al Gore won Florida. And we just were like a hooting and a hollering. And then all of a sudden they came back and they said, no, he didn't win Florida. And we said, we have to do something about it. So actually, we have George Bush to thank. Or maybe it was Jeb Bush. One of the Bush family, the dynasty. We have them to thank. They spawned this monster.
That's great. How about you, Vicki? When did you get captured by the spirit of standing up for your rights and for your human rights?
Well, I'm going to date myself here, but it goes back to the Vietnam War.
You were only four.
Yep.
And here we are.
I moved to Florida
today,
in 67.
Yet another war.
Yep, I moved to Florida in 67, and I arrived in Miami and found myself attending what absolutely shocked me was a segregated high school. And when some of us confronted the band director and said, you know, you can't do this. You can't isolate people anymore. You can't keep people segregated. And he said, well, it's like this. If you want to play in my band, that's the way it goes. And I said, well, I don't want to play in your band. And, you know, this is well, Dr. King is standing up for human rights in the streets. And so many people were treated so, so brutally. And at the same time, of course, Vietnam War, and many of us drew a direct line from the racism that was represented by the Vietnam War with the racism represented in the South. I was in that's where I cut my chops too, so I can appreciate that. Let me ask you this, Vic, when you see, you know, when the idea of green and environmentalism was seen by so many so shocking in the 70s, and part and parcel of that whole youth rebellion. When you see that distance we've come over these years, how do you stay positive? How do you stay positive when the battles of 100 years ago for women's access to reproductive health are again under question and being threatened? How do you stay positive?
Well, we try and make it fun. We use a lot of political satire up here, and sometimes that's the only way you can go on. One of my favorite activities and groups are the billionaires, and we've revived them many times. Billionaire Bush, healthcare, not welfare. What other ones have we
Well,
got?
We were billionaires for Romney this year, too.
Billionaires for Romney, lobbyists for McCain.
Yeah, one of our better ones, lobbyists for McCain. Yeah.
That was a priceless action.
I've seen some of those presentations. It's remarkable and very awe-inspiring, for sure.
And we didn't go to jail. So, you know, it was a win-win. Yeah. We had fun, we got our message out, and we didn't go to jail.
We show up in a lot of different costumes.
And we have our alter egos on that as well. We all have different names.
Sure.
I've also dressed as a.
I was the Monsanto Reaper at a recent GMO anti-GMO rally.
I was a giant bee. We had a protest for the ERA. We all wore period costumes. That one was fun too.
Absolutely.
You have to be have to keep it interesting to keep others involved as well.
And in Brevard now, when you do something really, really good, we consider that that you get an award. And it isn't just an award. It's a tiara. So when we view something that somebody's done, we have to stop and think, was that tiara worthy? And when you get your tiara, you've become a real feminist in our group. And we all wore our tiaras to the National Now Conference with Terry O'Neill and Bonnie Grabenhofer and everybody else. And they know us there, and they, oh, there's Brevard Now. We wear our pink shirts and our tiaras. We have fun. We work hard, and we play hard. And that's basically how you do it. You have to enjoy what you do.
Well, you know, it's so important.
It isn't just a negative. It's a positive.
It's so important. I recently attended a, you know, very serious conference where progressives came together and discussed, you know, working through the legislative process. And I can appreciate that, and there's certainly a place for that. And some people are mentally, emotionally, spiritually more comfortable working in that arena. And I was absolutely shocked to hear people say that, you know, street protest, that's passe, it's completely worthless, it shouldn't be indulged in, and these people who use theatrical methods. And I had to stand up and say, wait a minute here. You know, we don't have the ability to pound our message across the television networks hour after hour after hour. We don't have all the paid spokesmen. We don't have the slick advertising. But what we have is that human integrity to stand on a corner and say, no, I oppose this. And I said, you know, having been a person who's done quite a bit of political theater over the last 40 years and stood on many, many a corner and had everything from a thumbs up to things thrown at me, I can tell you that my experience has been very positive standing in opposition to some of these glory wars that our country too often indulges in. Obviously, you ladies think that standing up for your rights, standing up sometimes on a street corner and certainly using your wit and a little theatricality to get the message across, you find this is a productive method.
It is, and we attend all the town halls, all the county commission meetings, school board meetings, city council meetings. You'll see us in the audience. And
with our pink Now shirts on, they really hate when they see us come in. The politicians can spot us at the door, and they don't like it because we ask the hard questions. We're not afraid to ask it.
That's right. That's right. My wife and I, one time, it was announced that there was going to be a discussion at one of our child's schools about having uniforms. And my wife and I are not really enthusiastic about uniforms. We think that it's a fake solution to a real problem, and we wanted to go and oppose it. And we got there in time to hear we were there early, and the first speaker at the podium said, well, so do you want to have blue uniforms or green uniforms? And my wife and I stood and said, well, wait a minute, where's the discussion about whether or not we're going to have them? And they said, well, everybody agrees. I said, well, I think until you have a discussion, then we don't know whether everybody agrees or not. And about half an hour later, it was discovered that, you know, everybody didn't agree. And that those people who were in favor of the sponsorship of the school uniforms, you know, they just didn't have the argument that they thought they did. I know recently you've stood for in opposition to GM Foods. Could you talk a little bit about the issue of GM foods? I know many people are not really aware of how pervasive this problem of GM foods is. Could you talk a little bit about that, whoever would prefer to?
Well, this is Laura. Well, you look at the fact that you have very little family farms anymore. You have very little really well-produced food. And in order to mass produce the foods on assembly lines, which is what basically these big corporate farms are, they have to use intense chemicals to kill off the insects, as well as to, you know, replenish the nutrients because we literally are raping our dirt, our farmlands, you know. It used to be in the old days you'd give the back 40 some time to recover and then you'd move it to another area. We no longer do that. So we have given up in order to have things mass-produced from a corporate level. We've given up good food, tasty food, nutritious food for food that's there every day. And so a lot of people say, well, see, we cut down on hunger. We bring the price down. Yes, if you want really good food, what they call organic food, you pay more for it. But it has better taste. It's healthier for you. It doesn't give you cancers because no matter how hard you wash some of these vegetables, you're never going to get some of these pesticides off of it. And so that's one of the things there. Also, what they do to the meats. I was talking to one of my doctors, and I said, I think I'm giving up meat. And so he said, well, let's talk about it, because he said most Americans don't do vegetarians correctly. And he said, but I'll give you a piece of advice if you want to give up just one meat. He says, give up chicken. And I said, chicken, really? I thought that was the healthiest. He goes, that is the most unhealthy meat we have because it is so ingested, full of antibiotics and growth hormones. He goes, think back 20, 30 years, the size of a chicken breast versus the size of a chicken breast now. And coincidentally, think back 30 years to the size of a breast on a 9-year-old girl and look at a 9-year-old girl nowadays because she's ingested all of this growth hormone via chicken.
What a lot of people also don't realize is when they talk about, you know, quote, improving these crops with genetic engineering, what they're doing, especially with the Roundup-oriented stuff, is they're making these things more tolerant so they can use even more pesticide than they could use otherwise. And a lot of people are left, unfortunately, because of the propaganda, with the impression that they're just trying to make these foods better. And as you pointed out, they may make them have a longer shelf life or tomatoes with tougher skin, but that certainly has nothing to do with what they taste like, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Now, Vicki, tell them about the bees.
Go ahead.
What happens when the bees go?
Yeah, we're in big trouble with the bees.
Yep.
Another concern is all the antibiotics they feed animals. That's one of the reasons we have all these resistant bacteria now.
That's right. And you're talking to an ICU nurse, and she deals with the MRSA viruses or, you know, and resistant strains all the time. You know, if we're ingesting antibiotics every day in our food, when we get sick, antibiotics aren't going to work anymore because our bodies have built up tolerances.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you about one of the contemporary topics that many people are talking about today. We've just recently seen the discussion of whether to bomb another country for peace and to help their citizens turn around in just a matter of a few days to where now the president is saying maybe diplomacy is the way to go. Were you folks involved in that those discussions as well? Were you peace activists on this area as well?
Of course.
Actually, we had an emergency rally in Melbourne on Friday, September 6th, no war with Syria. And we had a great turnout, and we got good media coverage, and we had people of all walks of life, all political parties, all religions, all there standing up saying no.
And it was very noisy out on the street. People were lining up to honk their horns and jump out of their cars to support us. So I think we made Brevard County's voice heard, at least in Melbourne area.
You know, I got the distinct impression that the president was surprised that there was so much vehemence in opposition to his war plans. Did you get that same impression?
Well, personally, I was surprised by his plan. I mean, that's not what he campaigned for, a new direction in the Middle East and advocating for diplomacy, and a new war in Syria is not what we worked so hard for.
I mean, I realize a lot of goes back to the Treaty of Versailles and the end of World War One and the mustard gas and everything else.
Sure.
And, you know, of course, that was the war to end all wars, too, and see how well that worked. But, you know, I have a problem with chemical warfare as well, and I have a problem when Secretary Kerry stands there and says, all these children in these white shrouds, these white burial shrouds, and not one drop of blood. Well, I sat there and thought about that for a while, and I thought, why should I feel worse over a child in a burial shroud with no blood in a war zone as I do with a child in a burial shroud covered in blood? I mean, a death is death. War is war. And let's look at all the wars we've gotten involved with because we're just so good at helping out. Vietnam, that was a disaster. Iraq, well, need we say more. Afghanistan, that's coming around not. We're not doing very well in the Mideast. So, you know, we have all great intentions, and, you know, the road to hell is paved with them, and I just don't see where any of this is going to be a win-win. It just isn't. What, you know, we have a Congress that right before they left on their well-earned month-long vacation were talking about, we have no money, we're going to be broke, we're going to shut down the government sometime in October, but yet we have all the money in the world to go to war.
If
we have
the
money,
fund,
I say let's get Social Security up and running, let's get Medicare up and running, let's educate our children, let's fix our roads, our bridges, let's make sure that our children get decent education, let's get health care for everybody. And we have this kind of money. Apparently we do.
And we should concentrate our efforts not only on diplomacy, but a robust international humanitarian effort and try and help the millions of refugees who are in Lebanon and Jordan and the 7 million displaced citizens in Syria. Just imagine all the lives that we could save by providing clean food or clean water and food and access to medical care.
You're absolutely right. I was involved in several discussions on Facebook with progressive activists who, it seems surprising to me, we're so caught up in the necessity of us sending a message with missiles. And I said, to see this much enthusiasm, I would frankly rather see that enthusiasm about let's get resources to the refugees who are also adding to a destabilized Middle East. We've got refugees in Turkey, refugees in Jordan, in Lebanon.
Several children are there. Let's help those children. Not much we can do about the ones in the bloodless shrouds, but let's help the ones that escaped.
One other thing I wanted to ask you ladies about, and you know, like I said, I salute all the good works that you're doing. Many of us who are either in or entering the fifth and sixth and seventh decade of life are concerned that we make sure that we provide a good pathway to the younger members of our community, the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, to get involved as they can. I imagine that now in Melbourne has a good set of programs to engage younger folks. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, like I said, we're going to do our fifth annual Take Back the Night Domestic Violence Awareness Rally. That's open to the public. We want everybody to come by. We're going to have people from the different task force agencies everywhere, from the shelters to the police to the, you know, different government agencies that work to help people, plus other events that we're going to have. Where we start helping all of humanity is when we start treating our women like human beings and less like chattel. When we no longer have to see in the paper that somebody was arrested because they beat their wife. When a woman never has to worry about having violence at the hand of a loved one and an intimate partner. It may not even be their domestic partner. It could be a child. It could be an uncle, you know. So as long as we start treating our members of our own household as viable members of the human race, then we can take it a step further. But until we can do that, I have a problem going into another country. We can't even go into another neighborhood.
We're hooked up with several area high schools here, too. We have a number of interns who work on our various projects from Mel High, West Shore, Bayside, Palm Bay High School.
Also through FIT and UCF. So we're getting the word out. It's very difficult for a young mother that would have to probably pay a babysitter to come to a meeting, but it's amazing how many young moms are on our Facebook, our Brevard Now Facebook page, and they see what we're doing and they thank us. So we get the word out. We do definitely get the word out.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, I can't salute you enough. You do wonderful work in so many arenas. Stick around for a couple more decades or three, huh? We need good people like you.
For the Take Back Tonight, it's October 11th. That's a Friday evening from 6:30 to 9:30 over at Florida Institute of Technology, which is on University Boulevard in Melbourne. And anybody has any questions about it, they can go to www.brevardnow.org, and we'll get a link to them.
Okay,
send a letter to
www.brevardnow.org. Excellent.
Thanks again so much.
Vicki and Laura.
Thanks for all you do, Rick.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. I really appreciate it.
My old friend, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much, and I salute you. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was great. Laura Falzone and Vicki Impoco, two phenomenal progressive leaders from Brevard Now, and in addition to the work they do for women and women's rights and women's access to care, they're also involved in peace movement. They're also involved in safe foods. And as you saw, they're right now working on a Safe Streets initiative. What great people, what great workers, women activists. We are so blessed to have good people like that working to make this a better world. I'm your host and news director, Rick Spezak. I'm going to leave you with this musical thought. It's a wonderful tune from the First World War, which Laura mentioned, that glorious war to end all wars, was the way the slogan was written to get people involved. This is the most popular song of its day in 1917. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
10 million soldiers to the war have gone, who may never return again. 10 million mothers' hearts must break for the one who died in vain. Heads bowed down in sorrow in her lonely year, I heard a mother murmur through her tears. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot some of the mother's darling boys.
Let's take and liberate their future
troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun away.
There'd be no war today if mothers all would say,
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
What victory can cheer a mother's heart when she looks at her blighted home? What victory can bring her back all she cared to call her own? Let each mother answer in the years to be, remember that my boy belongs to me.
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy. Let Satan's arbor paint their future troubles. It's time to
lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And boy, who dares to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot the mother's darling boy?
Let nations are but face their future troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say,
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
Thanks so much for tuning in, and I hope you tune in again to Progressive News Network, bringing you the voices of progressive activists from across the state and beyond, talking about issues that you'll never see or hear on commercial media. And once again, I'm going to thank you for tuning in, but I'm going to leave the last word for Willy Wonka.
Mr. Wonka?
So shines a good deed in a weary world.
And that, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. And hope you tune in again on Sunday, the 18th. We're going to have a wonderful little show. Women activists leading the way to the barricade. So tune in, and we know you'll enjoy it. We'll be right back. I played this tune as it goes back to, it's called I Don't Have a Wooden Heart, and I send that out to our conservative brothers and sisters who seem to sometimes lack a heart, lack the compassion that those of us on the progressive side of the fence try to show our fellow men and women. So thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Tune in on Sunday for the women's activists leading the way to the barricade. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back.